Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
Hello, everyone. This is Randy Ruff and John Moronic from Ogletree Deacons, the construction group. We're going to talk today about contractors' duties to study and compare design documents and field conditions, both in hard bid contexts and in negotiated contract contexts. So, John, why don't you go ahead and start here?
Sure, Randy. So, a contractor's pre-bid visit to the site is often referred to as a walkthrough. What level of detail should the contractor's visit employ here?
Some contractors don't do walkthroughs. It's pretty risky because under most states' law, contractors are charged with knowledge of everything that's reasonably discernible at the site, which means everything that they can reasonably observe, and adding a little bit of logic and deductive reasoning, things that they should have figured out. An example might be, so if you're walking a site in August and there's a low part of the site and it's a little wet, but there was just a big rain last night, that contractor probably is going to be charged with knowledge that water flows to that part of the site. And in the rainy seasons, that part of the site is probably soggy and possibly underwater.
What kind of information does the project owner have to disclose to bidding contractors?
So generally, an owner has a duty to disclose all material information to a bidding contractor. So what is material? Well, that can encompass a broad range of information. So often it's easier to think about what an owner is not allowed to do. So an owner is not allowed to give the contractor inaccurate plans. He can't disclose partial information, all of which might be true, but incomplete and therefore misleading because of the other true but undisclosed information. And the owner cannot actively withhold or conceal material information. So basically, the owner is supposed to provide the contractors with all of the relevant information that the owner has.
The whole process seems a little free form. How careful does the contractor have to be? What if the contractor misses something during its review of the owner's information and its comparison to the site?
The law will protect the owner if the contractor blindly relies on obviously erroneous information. Again, that's why I said it's important to actually get out there and view the site, compare the site to the documents that you've been given pre-bid. If there's a dispute on the issue, the court is going to conduct an ambiguity analysis to determine whether the documents are such and the site is such that the contractor should have known or discovered the error given a reasonable amount of effort.
Can you give us some examples of the types of issues you've seen regarding pre-bid investigations?
This is probably more relevant in hard bid projects, but we are seeing shorter and shorter times from the time that the project is advertised to bid until the bid submissions are due. If that time is only 3 to 4 weeks, it's hard to do much more than just get out and have a fairly cursory observation. But you still have to try to get out there and do that. Taking photographs is important. Some basic measurements may be important, and some observations to compare what you're seeing to what at the site to what you're seeing in the design documents.
How does this differ from a rehabilitation project where there is some existing building or conditions that you're building into?
Remodel projects are particularly susceptible to problems in this area because so much already exists, and you will be making changes to things, components that are really not visible at first blush. So in these circumstances, contractors are often obligated to do a little bit more than just look. You might have to pry a little bit. You may have to open a wall here or there. You may have to kick around things that are loose and that are open. But rehab projects are particularly susceptible to misunderstandings with respect to what the existing conditions actually are.
Is the contractor's standard for the type of investigation it has to do different once it's awarded the job and it's doing field verification?
Yes. So everything we've just talked about is pre-bid or pre-contract award Once the contract is awarded, the standard completely changes. At this point, the contractor essentially owns the job. And if the contractor proceeds in the face of physical conditions that it doesn't learn about till midway through the project, typically that's going to be the contractor's risk. Detailed field measurements of all design aspects are required. The contractor is not expected to take dozens and dozens of measurements during the pre-bid visit, but once the award is made, the contractor is obligated to make sure that it has control over the site. And if this is a remodel project, that means detailed measurements over the existing construction so that you can begin your reconstruction on that. The AIA forms have standard language requiring the contractor to discover and report errors, you know, but the contractor is not held to the same technical standard as that is the architect or the engineer, but the contractor is obligated to figure out what the existing conditions are that are reasonably available and discernible before it begins work.
What types of issues have you seen regarding post-award field investigations?
Fundamental issues with design, frankly, requiring redesign and owner changeovers for time and costs. You know, things like walls and columns weren't where they were supposed to be or where they were designed to be. And then the fight becomes who was responsible to figure that out and when. And frankly, if the contractor doesn't figure that out until about 3 months into the job, that's going to be a problem for the contractor. If the contractor figures it out right away upon award, why, that's probably going to be owner's risk. Completed design and construction without proper field investigation can be a real problem. And the further the project goes on, the more difficult it becomes for the contractor.
Is the general contractor permitted to rely on its subcontractors to perform field verification?
Yes, but it's a risky thing to do. General contractor is entitled to rely on subcontractors, but if those subcontractors make errors, or more importantly and more often, if the subcontractor doesn't get to the job and begin doing its field measurements until it's beginning to start to do its work, then if it finds mistakes, you're immediately in a delay situation. So some mistakes these things that the contractors are going to find are not discernible until the subs get on site. But many things, many general things are. Again, I use the columns issue on a rehab job. You know, it takes just minor measurements to figure out that the columns aren't sitting on top of each other or that the building that you're about to work on is not square or plumb. And those are things that general contractors typically should be able to figure out without having to wait for the subcontractor to come out and do surveys and detailed measurements.
How typically does a dispute involving a field verification issue play out?
Our experience is that these typically arise in the context of differing site conditions claims. We're all familiar with differing subsurface conditions, and some of these are subsurface issues, but they don't have to be. And often the contractor will ask for time and money based on the differing conditions. The architect will deny saying, or the owner will deny saying that these conditions were readily discernible. Had you only undertaken a reasonable investigation, you would have known it. So it's not a differing condition and you're not entitled to either. And then you wind up in a fight. These are usually very factually intensive fights. They're often very difficult to predict, and therefore there's a lot of uncertainty involving these.
It sounds like a piece of long and expensive litigation.
It can be. So the best advice is to do the investigation up front. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our podcast, and hopefully you'll be able to join us for our next one, in which we will discuss the contractor's duties to review the plans and try to figure out constructability and possibly design errors. Thank you again.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.